If you want to push beyond average results produced by average people, you'll need to adopt an uncommon approach that doesn't fall in the favor of everyone. The more uncanny and exceptional you strive to be, the more you need to fight through social indoctrination. Extraordinary wealth will require you to have extraordinary beliefs. Turn your back to farting headwinds. If you turn your back to a headwind, it becomes an accelerant. I had to do this, otherwise I would have failed. After graduating from college, I was expected to find a good job. I didn't, and instead, I dove into entrepreneurial ventures. My family thought I was crazy and proclaimed, "You're wasting a 5-year education." Peers thought I was delusional. Oh dear, delivering pizzas and chauffeuring limousines while 2 business degrees hung from the wall? Women wouldn't date me because I broke the professional, college-educated mold the fairy tale espoused. Going fast lane and building momentum will require you to turn your back at the people who fart headwinds in your direction. You have to break free of society's gravitational force and their expectations. If you aren't mindful to this natural gravity, life can degenerate into a vicious, self-perpetuating cycle, which is society's prescription for normal. You know how it is. Get up, go to work, come home, eat, watch a few episodes of Law and Order, go to bed, then repeat day after day. Before you know it, 45 years have passed and you need another 25 just to make your financial plan work. Time passes, dreams die, and what remains? An old, withered body, forlorn for what could have been. So, who farts headwinds? They are, 1, friends and family who just don't get it. 2, educational institutions that preach slow lane dogma. 3, parents who are conditioned to believe that, oh, wealth is for other people. 4, slow lane gurus who claim that your house is the best investment. 5, slow lane gurus who say $100 invested today will be worth $10 million in 50 years. 6, your environment. Escaping human headwind bloviators. People who don't empower your goals are human headwind bloviators. They add friction to the journey. When you spot excitement over your actions or ideas, bloviators react with doubt and disbelief and use conditioned talking points such as, "Oh, that won't work," or "Somebody is already doing it," or "Why bother?" In motivational circles, they call them dream stealers. You must turn your back on them. Every entrepreneur has bloviators in their life. These people are normal obstacles to the fast lane road trip. Remember, these people have been socially conditioned to believe in the preordained path. They don't know about the fast lane, nor do they believe it. Anything outside of that box is foreign. And when you talk fast lane, you might as well be speaking Klingon. As a producer, you are the minority, or the consumers are the rest. To be unlike everyone who isn't rich, and you, who will be rich, requires a strong defense. Otherwise, their toxicity infects your mindset. Commiserating with habitual, negative, limited thinkers is treasonous. Uncontrolled, these headwinds lead directly to the couch and the video game console. Yes, the old, "If you hang out with dogs, you're gonna get fleas." This relationship makes you a blossoming flower that needs protection, water, and plenty of sun. Negative friends, families, or coworkers are dark clouds. Defend yourself or suffer the consequence of slow assimilation to mediocrity. Escaping environmental headwinds. While you might be able to redirect human-originated headwinds, environmental factors aren't so easily controlled. What are environmental headwinds? For me, it was Chicago. I was seasonally depressed and I needed sun for motivation. Chicago was my hurricane force headwind, and if I wanted success, I needed to turn my back. I escaped and moved to one of the sunniest places on the planet. Had I not turned my back to the environmental headwind, this book would not exist. Where would I be today if I hadn't turned my back to the tornado? I know I wouldn't have been here, happy and retired 30 years early. Nope, I'd be on the Kennedy Expressway, fighting traffic and probably strung out on antidepressants. I'll pass. I made a choice to turn my environmental headwind into a tailwind. While I can't blame all my problems on my environment, they enforce this disconnect between interest in wealth and commitment. Another headwind could be your work environment. If your hated job drains the life out of you, it's a headwind. After a long workday and you have nothing left for your dreams and your fast lane plan, you're done. The headwind keeps you trapped. While growing up, one of the successful entrepreneurs I studied was Sylvester Stallone. While Sly is thought to be an actor, he's really an entrepreneur. His Rocky screenplay was his product that touched millions, and he sold it under a specific set of circumstances, which included the provision that he play the lead role. Sly was no stranger to the law of affection. One of the telling elements of Sly's success story was his resistance to getting a normal job. He mentioned that if he'd taken a corporate job, his dream would have died because he knew the gravity of a job was inescapable for him. He recognized that a corporate environment would have been a headwind. If your environment puts a stiff headwind in your face, you must take active steps to remove yourself from the headwind. What headwinds are keeping you from pursuing your dreams? Take control and make choices that can alter the trajectory of your life. Creating accelerative wins. My headwind was my environment. For you, it might be negative friends or other slow lane influences. When you turn your back on these people, you break the headwind. When you associate with people who empower your goals, you create a wind at your back and build momentum. Positive people nurture your growth, soothe your failures, and invest in your dreams. Good people are conduits to your dreams, not just in motivational fuel, but in extending your opportunity reach. People are like roads. They can either bring opportunity or distress into your life. The quality of these roads solely depends on the quality of the person. Think of the relationships in your life, like an army platoon readying for battle. Who are you going to war with? Your friend Mark, who is always late, lies, and passes out drunk every Saturday night? Or your friend Lucy, who has a new job every 3 weeks and was caught stealing at the mall and is only looking for that super rich guy to carry her off into the sunset? Are these people you can count on? Are these people you can go to battle with? If not, you need to pick better warriors on your team. How? Join entrepreneur clubs, attend networking events, ally yourself with like-minders, get yourself around people who subscribe to a fast lane, anything is possible mindset, and decide who you want on your team of warriors. Read books and autobiographies of those who have the kind of success you want. Find a mentor. Join entrepreneur forums with a fast lane mindset, like the Fast Lane Forum. You know, not a week goes by when someone doesn't email me, "This forum has changed my life." Now that's a tailwind. Folks, this is war, and your life is in the balance. You need warriors who are impervious to the Death Star and can deactivate the slow lane tractor beam, not fearful pansies who drop their cargo at the first sign of Imperial slow laners. Reflect on your environment and your relationships and recognize what the headwinds are. Then choose accelerative action. Can these headwinds be removed, ignored, or managed? Unlike the natural wind, you are the arbiter of your headwinds. Success follows those who break the headwind and put it at their back. Significant other or significant distraction. The worst headwind can be the person who sits in the passenger seat of your vehicle. They sit and lecture you on your dumb ideas and remind you of your failures. Or they don't say anything at all and just distract you. They fiddle with the radio, adjust the climate control, roll the windows up and down, and hum old Duran Duran tunes. Or they just play the role of backseat driver. "Charles! Charles! Do this! Do that! No! Turn there, dummy!" What possibly could be so hazardous to your trip? And who is this person? How the heck did they get in your car? This person is your significant other. By talking with other aspiring entrepreneurs, I learned that significant others, husbands, wives, fiancés, girlfriends, boyfriends, can be some of the biggest headwinds out there. Having a life partner who doesn't subscribe to your life ideals and philosophies is like towing a trailer full of wet manure. If your partner doesn't subscribe to the entrepreneurial philosophy and tows the slow lane road, can you expect to grow in unison? Someone fighting with you in your corner is accelerative. If they serve as opposition, they become treasonous. One of my first girlfriends was A-plus marriage material, but she fully subscribed to a slow lane philosophy. She couldn't understand why I was so fervent to be an entrepreneur. Our relationship stagnated as my failures grew, and the relationship eventually ended. This occurrence wasn't either one of our faults. We were just two different people on two different paths. Bad relationships are roadblocks to fast lane success. They drain energy and they dim dreams. It's like rowing a boat upstream. Unwilling passengers add weight, they distract, and sometimes they're expensive to remove. Yes, divorce is treasonous, expensive, both emotionally and financially. Traveling down the road less traveled is already difficult. Why compound the journey by weighting the car down with someone who doesn't share your destination? Are you in the right relationship with a person who believes in you and your goals? Or is the relationship just like lukewarm water? It's not bad, not good, just comfortable enough to stand pat. If so, it might be time to evaluate your passenger. Chapter Summary, Fast Lane Distinctions. The natural gravity of society is not to be exceptional, but average. Toxic relationships drain energy and detract from your goals to be extraordinary. The people in your life are like comrades in battle platoon. They can save you, help you, or destroy you. Good relationships are accelerative to your process, while bad relationships are treasonous. Chapter 26, Your Primordial Fuel, Time. Time isn't a commodity, something you pass around like a cake. Time is the substance of life. When anyone asks you to give your time, they're really asking for a chunk of your life. Antoinette Bosco. The $6 Bucket of Chicken. Why will most people never get rich? Look no further than a $6 bucket of chicken. It made big news. A fast food restaurant offered a free bucket of chicken to anyone who had an internet coupon. People flocked to restaurant locations and waited for hours, all for a free $6 bucket of chicken. Know anyone who would stand in line for hours just to get something free? Are you one of them? These stories are common, and yet my reaction is the same. What the hell is wrong with people? I'll tell you. These people value their time at zero. It's free. Like the air we breathe, they're convinced that their time is abundant and in an endless supply. They live as if they're immortal. They are certain that time, the fuel of their life, never runs empty. I wonder if these people had 3 weeks left to live. Would they be standing in line for a bucket of chicken? What if they had 3 months? 3 years? At what level of mortality would they rule that standing in line for 3 hours for free chicken is not a good use of time? The greasy chicken truth? Value your time poorly and you will be poor. When time is wasted as a lifestyle choice, you will be stranded in places you don't want to be. Take a look around. How do your friends, family, and peers value their time? Are they standing in line to save $4? Are they driving 40 minutes to save $10? Are they parked on the sofa, anxiously waiting to see who wins Dancing with the Stars? The average American watches more than 4 hours of TV each day. In a 65-year life, that person will have spent 9 years glued to the tube. Why? Simple. Life sucks. Life needs an escape. Life is no good. Show me someone who spends hours online playing Mafia Wars, Farmville, or Angry Birds, and I'll show you someone who probably isn't very successful. When life sucks, escapes are sought. I don't need television because I invested my time into a real life worth living, not a fictitious escape that airs every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Again, majority thinking yields mediocrity, and for the majority, time is an asset that is undervalued and mindlessly squandered. The Titanic. How fast is your ship sinking? People standing in line to save money ought to hold a picket sign announcing to the world, "I value money more than my life." That choice is a primal mistake. A great example to time's reigning dominance over money comes from the 1997 movie Titanic. As the ship sinks and a few lifeboats remain, Caledon Hockley, a wealthy steel industrialist played by Billy Zane, bargains for his life with a ship's officer and offers cash in exchange for a lifeboat seat. The officer rebukes the tycoon's proposition with a stiff certainty. "Your money can't save you any more than it can save me." Reflect on that for a moment. Your money can't save you any more than it can save me. Powerful. In those 8 seconds, the true value of time is exposed as we intersect with the certainty to our own ticking death clock. You see, once your time is gone, you're dead. And when your clock ceases to tick, no amount of cash will save you from the end. Fastlanders understand that time is the gas tank of life. When the gas tank runs dry, life ends. Time is the greatest asset you own. Not money, not the 1969 restored Mustang, and not Grandpa's old coin collection. Time. The fact is, all of us are on a sinking ship. Is your time treated as much? Is it treated fairly or carelessly? Or is your primordial fuel squandered as if the tank will never run empty? You were born rich, and you will die broke. Time is the great equalizer. You were born with a full tank of gas, there are no refilling stations, and your one fill-up occurred the moment you took your first breath. Time can't be created outside of your mortal limits. Sure, we might be able to stretch a 76-year lifespan to 82 with good health and diet, but with immortality, time is transformed from infinite to finite. The greatest theft of all humanity is to act as if our time on this earth is infinite, when it isn't. The reality is that time is deathly scarce, while money is richly abundant. On any given day, $3 trillion is exchanged in the world currency markets. To give that perspective, you can spend $1 million a day for 8,000 years, and you still wouldn't have spent $3 trillion. That's 109 lifetimes to quantify the total currency trading volume that exists for one day. Money is abundant, and it will be abundant as long as the world's governments continue to print more. Now, since you don't have 8,000 years of life, isn't it logical to conclude that money is abundant and time is not? You can always acquire more money, but you cannot defy mortality. The irony of financial fortune is that no matter how much you have, you will die flat broke. You cannot escape the continual combustion of time as your tank drips time every second. You can live in blissful happiness or in a miserable depression. Time is indifferent, and it just bleeds away. Now, since time is scarce, wouldn't it make sense not to waste 3 hours of your life for a $6 bucket of chicken? Indentured time is the ransom of free time. There are two types of time that will make up your lifespan, your free time and your indentured time. Put forth in an equation, your lifespan equals free time plus indentured time. Free time is yours to spend as you please. TV, a jog in the park, video games, sleeping, eating, or vacation. If you're like most, your free time is lumped on evenings and weekends where time is not exchanged for money. Now, indentured time is the opposite. It's the total time spent earning money and the consequences of that spent time. When you awake in the morning, shower, dress, drive to the train station, wait, ride to work, and then work for 8 hours, this is indentured time. When you spend your entire weekend recharging from the work week, this is indentured time. Indentured time is the actual work and the work you must do for the work. Morning rituals, traffic, compiling reports at home, solitary recharges, whatever time spent earning a buck is indentured time. If you won the lottery, you'd quit your job because indentured time is no longer required and is suddenly replaced with free time. Money buys free time and eliminates indentured time. However, the irony of your free time is it isn't free. It's bought and paid for by your indentured time. You enjoy a 2-week vacation because it was paid for by a year of indentured time. You can relax with a cold beer on the couch because you paid for it earlier in the day with 8 hours of indentured time. Indentured time becomes the ransom of your free time. The right time versus the wrong time. There's the right time and the wrong time. The right time is free time. Indentured time is the wrong time. The slow lane ransoms time. Time at the job and time invested in the markets. Remember, 5 indentured days for 2 free days is a bad trade. If you were born into slavery, your life would be 100% indentured time with 0% free time. While total time can't be manipulated, you can manipulate your time ratio. Wouldn't it be nice to have one day of indentured time and 6 days of free time? If you can steal free time from the hands of indentured time, life will have more of the right time versus the wrong time. Dump the junk in the trunk. If you race cars at the drag strip, you know that every ounce of weight counts. Racers remove everything non-essential to make the car as light as possible. This increases efficiency, speed, and performance, resulting in faster finishes. Unnecessary weight forces the car to work harder. Yet on our road trip to wealth, we're guilty of adding weight. Our vehicle is burdened with junk in the trunk that coerces us to work harder. And when you work harder long enough, it wears you out and breaks you down. This debilitating weight is parasitic debt. Parasitic debt is everything you owe the world. It's the excrement of lifestyle servitude. Your shiny new Infiniti financed at 60 months, your home mortgage financed over 30 years, those fancy designer clothes 4 months removed from out of fashion, and yes, even that insidious furniture that seemed like such a good idea at the time. All of this crap creates servitude and forces indentured time. When you're forced to work, you limit choice, and limited choices closes roads. Aside from my mother's creepy doll collection, nothing is more frightening than a parasite leached to my neck, sucking my blood. Parasitic debt is a counterweight to the road trip. It's a bloodsucker that steals free time, energy, freedom, and health, all foes to true wealth. Parasitic debt consumes free time. The leading cause of indentured time is parasitic debt. Surely you've heard the phrase thief of hearts. When it comes to parasitic debt, it is the thief of lives. Parasitic debt is a gluttonous pig that gorges on free time and shits it out as indentured time. Any debt that forces you to work is expensed from free time and shifts it to indentured time. Debt needs a constant drip of blood, and that blood comes from your gas tank of life, time. And since time is fixed, an increase in indentured time comes from only one source, your free time. The cost of parasitic debt. The average American owes more than they are worth. Having a lifestyle built on credit creates lifestyle servitude in the form of indentured time. And because total time is finite, indentured time grows by pilfering from free time. Indentured time leads straight to the sidewalk. The next time you buy some fancy gadget on credit, know exactly what you're buying. You're buying parasitic debt that eats your free time and excretes it into indentured time. For example, if you buy an audio system that costs $4,000 and you only make $10 an hour, what's the real price? What's the weight of the poop? The price is 400 hours of your free time, since you must work 400 hours times $10 per hour to repay the debt. Add 10% interest and your final cost stacks up to 440 hours of your free time added to your weight burden. So the next time you whip out the Visa, calculate the real cost. How much free time is this going to cost me? Everything we buy has not one cost, but two. Number one, the actual dollar cost. And number two, free time transformed into indentured time. The law of chocolate chip cookies. When I first moved out on my own, I quickly learned the law of chocolate chip cookies. If the cookies don't get into the grocery cart, they don't get home. And if they don't get home, they don't get in my mouth. And if they don't get in my mouth, they don't transform into belly fat. Parasitic debt follows the same law. Control parasitic debt by controlling its source, instant gratification, which is a trait of the sidewalk. The next time you feel compelled to buy some trinket at Macy's, ask yourself, will this be obsolete in 6 months and land in the garage with the rest of the junk? In 4 months, will this stupid tribal t-shirt be relegated to that dusty side of the closet reserved for painting smocks? Again, when you purchase the next greatest fashion fad without truly being able to afford it, you open the floodgates to parasitic debt, and that flows downstream to the sidewalk. If the cost of the product doesn't make it to your credit card, it doesn't become parasitic. You become a protector of free time. Think, will this purchase take freedom? Will I own this or will it own me? While some choose servitude behind iron bars, Others choose servitude behind velvet walls. Both are the same. The ultimate wealth is having the free time to live how you want to live. The fast lane is about being both lifestyle rich as well as time rich. A poor valuation of free time leads to poorness. Rich or poor, time is equally possessed, shared, and consumed by all. Everybody gets it. You use it, I use it, your neighbor uses it. No one gets more and no one gets less. 24 hours for everybody. No one has an unfair advantage. You, me, we all have 24 hours to consume, expire, and spend. Time becomes the ultimate equalizer. So then why do so few get rich while the rest wallow from paycheck to paycheck? The distinction lies in the valuation of free time, the chosen roadmap, and the acquisition of parasitic debt. Now guess the behaviors. Rich or poor? This person sleeps until noon. This person watches hours of reality TV. This person drives 2 hours just to save $20. This person buys airline tickets with multiple layovers just to save $100. This person spends hours surfing social networks and gossip blogs. This person is a level 10 druid in World of Warcraft. This person watches every Chicago Cubs game. Behind the tangled roots of poorness, you will find a poor valuation of free time, which breeds from bad choices. Time losers are poor evaluators of time. These are the people camped out at Walmart at 4 a.m. waiting to grab the early bird sales. These are the people sleeping outside Best Buy hoping to score a free 32-inch HD TV. These are people waiting outside IKEA hoping to score a free breakfast. Time losers are also inconvenient savers. The inconvenient saver desperately clutches on to every dollar, fearful it may never return. Extreme inconvenience is never a match for saving money. For example, an old friend of mine wanted an exercise bike and found it on sale at a store miles away from her home. I told her just to buy the darn thing locally and pay the higher price, which was an extra $29. Nope, she was an inconvenient saver. Instead, she drove 1 hour to save $29. Total time spent? 2.5 hours. Subtract gas, and the total valuation of her time is about $5 an hour. Last I checked, she doesn't work for $5 an hour, but has no problem wasting her free time at this rate. The inconvenient saver gladly wastes time to save money. From plane tickets with multiple stops to shared shuttled airport service, inconvenience is no match for saving a few bucks an hour. Again, if these people had 3 months left to live, would they be outside Best Buy in a sleeping bag waiting? 6 months, 6 years. At what threshold will these people pack up their sleeping bag on the sidewalk and say, gee, what the hell am I doing sleeping on a sidewalk outside an electronics store? Is this a smart use of my life? Sidewalkers sleep on sidewalks. Fastlaners exalt time as their primary consideration in decision-making because it's our most valued asset. You see, fastlaners are frugal with time, while slowlaners are frugal with money. Sidewalkers and slowlaners use money as the sole criterion in decision-making. Oh, which job pays the most? Where's the cheapest rent? How could I get some free chicken? Money is scarce, and time brings up the rear and sweeps up the mess. If you want to be rich, you have to start thinking rich. Time is king. Chapter Summary, Fastlane Distinctions. Fastlaners regard time as the king of all assets. Time is deathly scarce, while money is richly abundant. Indentured time is time you spend to earn money. Free time is spent as you please. Your lifespan is made up of both free time and indentured time. Free time is bought and paid for by indentured time. Fastlaners seek to transform indentured time into free time. Parasitic debt eats free time and excretes it as indentured time. Lifestyle extravagances have two costs, the cost itself and the cost to free time. Parasitic debt has to be stopped at its source, instant gratification. Chapter 27. Change that dirty, stale oil. Education is what remains after one has forgotten everything he has learned in school. Albert Einstein. Change the oil every 3,000 miles. The first lesson of car ownership, change the oil every 3,000 miles. Neglect the lesson and your car dies well before its useful life. Frequent oil changes keep your car running efficiently. Unchanged oil goes stale and turns the ride rough. Rough rides stall to the shoulder of the road. Fast lane road trip demands fresh oil changes. But what is oil? Oil is education, knowledge, street smarts. But be careful. It must be the right oil and for the right purpose. Sidewalkers don't bother with oil. After 3,000 miles, they're done. Graduation is the last oil change. Slow laners oil their vehicles for the explicit purpose of raising intrinsic value. Advanced education, certifications, what's going to command a bigger salary? Fast laners, on the other hand, oil their vehicles until they hit the junkyard. Graduation is not the end, it's the beginning. Face it. What you know today is not enough to get you where you need to be tomorrow. You must constantly reinvent yourself, and reinvention is education. Unfortunately, graduation traditionally signals the end of education. Regardless of your graduating age, adulthood begins. To cease learning at graduation is wealth suicide. Your most effective earning years happen after graduation. So wouldn't it be smart to continue the educational process long after formal schooling?
Jim Gallagher graduated 11 years ago and is unemployed. Jim is a stockbroker, but because of internet technology, his expertise has become endangered and flirts with extinction. Jim's education for that specific job set has become dated and no longer applies to the current world. The world has moved on, yet Jim and his education have not. Jim contemptuously takes a menial sales job at a local furniture store. His financial plan stalls because he operates within the same stale oil last changed 11 years ago. Jim fails to change his oil, so Jim's road trip to wealth also fails.
Education, your oil, is a critical component to your wealth road trip. When you continually inject yourself with new education, new skills, and new competencies, new roads open and things run smoothly. The right education has incredible horsepower. Education's role. Education is virtuous under both slow lane and fast lane roadmaps, but the roles are profoundly different. In the slow lane, education is used to elevate intrinsic value, while in the fast lane, it is used to facilitate and grow the business system. Also, fast lane education is secured by methods that do not produce parasitic debt or conformity. The purpose of education within the fast lane is to amplify the power of the money tree and the business system. You're not a cog in the wheel. You learn to build the wheel. For example, if I go to a training seminar that gives me the skills to hire Top Gun salespeople, I'm engaged in activities that specifically enhance the fertility of my business and my money tree. If I read a book on a new computer technology that illustrates how to create new interactive website features, I'd be learning to facilitate the system. Again, Fastlane education is to foster growth of the business system. Conversely, slow lane education is designed to specifically enhance the intrinsic value of the person receiving the education. It is to become a gear in the system. A Fastlane forum user had the opportunity to pursue an MBA, and he asked if it was worth it. My answer typically would be no, but this scenario was a little different. First, the MBA had no money cost, only time cost, as the government was paying for it. Second, this gentleman espoused a fast lane ideology, so his purpose was not intrinsic value elevation, but expansion of his knowledge to facilitate the fast lane system. So I voted yes. I don't know how. If an oil change puts your car on a lift for months or years, what's the point? Your continued education must not come laden with conformity or parasitic debt, but must facilitate your fast lane system. How? Make the real world your university. Yes, you are your own university. Ask any successful entrepreneur and they will validate this truth. You learn from engagement, from doing, from getting out there and taking repeated action, more so from than any other book or professor. But I don't know how, you cry. Oh, stop. Public enemy number one on the most used excuses list is I don't know how. Well, Why don't you know how? I'll tell you why. You don't know because you haven't taught yourself how, nor have you wanted to know how badly enough. You see, it's easier to relent under the weight of I don't know how than it is to actively pursue the knowledge. In today's information society, there is absolutely no excuse not to find out how. I graduated from college with 2 business degrees, marketing and finance. Neither of them was related to computer science. I graduated with no computer programming experience. Yet, I made millions on the internet. Funny, after 13 years of expensive institutional education, I never took a formal class about internet or web technologies. Heck, my computer classes were limited to introductory business courses. If I didn't go to school to learn the internet, how the heck did I learn to become educated within this skill set? I sought to change my oil frequently. I educated myself. I read books. I hit the library. I spent hours on the web and read articles, tutorials, wikis. I sought and consumed knowledge. Years ago, when I started my career with internet media, I could have easily quit and leaned on the obvious. I don't know how. I don't know how to program a website. I don't know how to design graphics. I don't know how to manage a server. I don't know how to write marketing copy. These excuses are like a plastic bag, ready to smother your dreams, but only if you stick your head in the bag. Instead, my vision of a website didn't end with, I don't know how, but started there. So get your head out of the bag. Had I not refreshed my skill set, my oil, my journey would have stalled. My religious pursuit of knowledge kept me efficient in an ever-changing world and primed me for fast-lane opportunities. Education didn't end with graduation, it started. And best of all, my self-taught education was a twin-turbo acceleration into the fast lane. My skills did not come loaded with parasitic debt or conformity. Education is freely available. The greatest travesty of the free world is the underuse of knowledge. Walk into your local bookstore and inhale. Smell that? That's the smell of infinite knowledge. Walk into your local library and look around. Amazing. Wall-to-wall books, free for the taking. Imagine if you could digest every book, every paragraph, and every sentence. Would, I don't know how, be a detriment to your success? I'm astonished that education is freely available, yet most choose not to take it. Education is unplucked fruit from a tree, and all it needs is a ladder. Yet, most people cling to the limiting belief that I can't afford education. Sorry, but it's just an excuse to be lazy. Infinite knowledge is at your fingertips, and the only thing preventing you from getting it is you. Yes, you. Turn off the TV, pick up a book, and read it. Quit playing Guitar Hero and hit the library. Quit playing Game Boy and hit the books. A committed Fastlaner has his nose in a book weekly. He attends seminars. He trolls business forums. He's on Google searching different topics and strategies. You have the innate power to become an expert at anything not requiring physical talent. Anything. No book in the world can make me a professional basketball player or a professional singer, but books can transfigure novices to experts in non-physical disciplines. You can become a currency trading expert, real estate, business, web programming, sales, a public speaker. These expertise for any discipline not requiring physical coordination is out there. What does it take? Your commitment of pursuit, and then the biggie, applying it. When I remodeled my house, the walls of my grand foyer needed to be faux painted. Faux finishing is a complicated painting technique that's used to create lavish surfaces with depth and luminance. I had 2 choices, call a professional or learn to do it myself. Since I was retired, I viewed this as a fun challenge, so I opted to do it myself. I hit the internet and watched a few hours of video tutorials. Then I hit the Home Depot and bought supplies. Over the next several days, I practiced on cardboard boxes. Within a week, I became proficient at faux painting. I built myself a skill in 1 week. Days earlier, I was in the sphere of I don't know how, and days later, I possessed a new skill that I could aptly sell if I wanted. The best faux painters earn $10 a square foot. In 1 week, I built myself a skill that opened up a tiny road into a fast lane equation. Skills and expertise are just waiting for you. No one drops a book on your lap or gives you knowledge. You have to seek it, process it, and then use it. The acquisition and application of knowledge will make you rich. So where do you find infinite knowledge inexpensively? Like the air you breathe, it's all around you, like an apple tree waiting to be plucked. Bookstores. Books possess the greatest return for your educational dollar. The library. The greatest repository of knowledge and the disabler of, I can't afford to buy books, excuse. I got my start at the library. Internet forums. Find like-minded congregations and learn from those who have succeeded. Find tailwinds. Internet classes. Can be pricey but convenient. Internet blogs, podcasts, screencasts, webcasts. Another excuse destroyer. Seminars. Good seminars bring good value, assuming they are sponsored by the right entities and not get-rich-quick gurus. Television. Cable TV has turned television educational. Deviate from the mindless reality TV garbage and tune in to channels with educational value. History, Discovery, Science, HGTV, Military, and National Geographic. Continuing education classes. Offered mostly by community colleges, these classes offer a wide array of formal training in specific disciplines. Free magazines. Visit tradepub.com and freebizmag.com and sign up for free magazine subscriptions pertaining to your topic of interest. Unfortunately, while infinite knowledge surrounds us, most people ignore it. Take, for example, this comment about education from successful real estate investor Lonnie Scruggs, lonniescruggs.net.
I used to work two jobs. Education changed my life. Before I learned how to put money to work, I was doing all the work. I was so uneducated back then that I thought the answer to financial freedom was working two jobs, and that's what I did for many years. Finally, I realized there weren't enough hours in a day, and I couldn't work enough hours in a month to reach financial security. There had to be a better way. I started looking for that way. When I realized that education and knowledge was the answer, I made up my mind to get an education. Before that, all I had was some schooling. Now I realized I needed some education. Now I can look back and see that I didn't do all the easy and fun things like many people were doing, but I did all the right things. And today, we enjoy financial security and financial freedom. We can do what we want. Many of our friends are still working jobs searching for financial security that they will never know. They had the same chance to make choices that I had. They just made the wrong choices. They had all the schooling they needed but didn't have the necessary education that provided financial freedom. Now they tell me how lucky we are. The best investment you can make is in yourself. So be willing to pay for your education now, or be prepared to pay a much bigger price for your lack of education later. The choices you make today will determine your financial future. Be sure you make the right choice, because you will have to live with the results of that choice.
The rich understand that education doesn't end with the graduation ceremony. It starts. The world is in constant flux, and as it evolves, your education must move with it, or you will drift to mediocrity. I don't have time. Tailgating the crutch of I don't know how is, I don't have time. Where on earth will you find time to change your oil? I mean, seriously, between the full-time job and the two kids, where is there time? It's in between everything else. Changing your oil isn't difficult when you attach it to existing activities of repetition and consistency. While time might be linear, it can be manipulated by performing double duty on one time block, as in the old cliche, killing two birds with one stone. Maximize time and you maximize wealth. Accomplish two objectives in one time frame. Make life your university. Here are some time-cheating life university strategies. Driving university. Listen to audiobooks or financial news radio while stuck in traffic. Traffic nuisances transformed to education. Exercise university. Absorb books, podcasts, and magazines while exercising at the gym. In between sets on the treadmill or on a stationary bike, exercise is transformed to education. Waiting university. Bring something to read with you when you anticipate a painful wait. Airports, doctor's offices, and your state's brutal motor vehicle department. Don't sit there and twiddle your thumbs. Learn. Toilet university. Never thrown without reading something of educational value. Extend your sit time, even after you finish, with the intent of learning something new every single day. Toilet University is the best place to change your oil since it occurs daily and the time expenditure cannot be avoided. This means the return on your time investment is infinite. Toilet time is transformed to education. Jobbing University. If you can, read during your work downtimes. During my dead job employment, like driving limos and pizza delivery, I enjoyed significant wait times between jobs. While I waited for passengers, pizzas, or flower orders, I read. I didn't sit around playing pocket poker. No, I read. If you can exploit dead time during your job, you are getting paid to learn. Dead-end jobs become transformed to education. TV Time University. Can't wean yourself off TV? No problem. Put a television near your workspace and simultaneously work your Fastlane plan while the TV does its thing. By watching countless reruns of Star Trek, boldly going where no man has gone before, I simultaneously learn how to program websites. In fact, as I write this, I'm watching the New Orleans Saints pummel the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football. Gridiron gluttony transformed to work and education. Think about the time you already use. How many hours do you waste in the trivialities of life? This doesn't need to be time lost or time wasted. This time is ripe for Fastlane oil changes. To start your oil recharge, choose a topic that interests you or an area in your life that needs improvement. Not good at sales or writing? Get to the library and start reading. Before I started writing Fastlane, I bought 6 books relating to publishing, writing, and authoring. I didn't blindly write and publish a book. I educated myself thoroughly during the process. Set a goal to read at least 12 books a year, or 1 per month. If you are aggressive like me, you'll read a book every week. I can't stress enough that the more knowledge you consume, the more torque you create on the Fastlane road trip. The $50,000 oil change. The last time I went to one of those while-you-can-wait oil change places, an advertised $22 oil change morphed into a $110 bill because of extra service suggestions. An oil change shouldn't cost you more than $25, and anything heavier should arouse your suspicions. $20 is the average price of a book. Used books are less. Library books are free. Continuing education at a community college averages $30 per credit hour. Oil changes are cheap, yet we continue to strap the chains of debt to our ankles and pay thousands of dollars for our oil changes. I saw a picture the other day of a student publicly protesting one of the government financial bailouts. She hoisted a large poster that read, "I've got a 4.0 GPA, $90,000 in debt, and no job. Where's my bailout?" Where's your bailout? Let me tell you, walk into the bathroom, flip on the light switch, and look in the freaking mirror. There's your bailout. I'm tired of sob stories from well-intended students who graduate from college with mountains of debt and can't get a job. Take responsibility. You bought into the myth that college ensures a job. The fact is, when you allow the market forces to drive your vehicle, you're likely to end on a street with a homemade poster proclaiming the value of your 4.0 GPA and the crushing burden of your six-figure debt. No one cares. You're in debt because you borrowed. You're in debt because you bought into the lie and relinquished control. You bought into the slow lane. Were you forced to take loans? You don't have a job because you voted for politicians who penalize producers and reward consumers. Face the facts. An expensive oil change that forces a lifetime of indentured time is stupid. Again, parasitic debt doesn't care about the source. It only wants to eat your free time, preferably seasoned with a little salt and pepper. The seminar fail. What idiot would pay $50,000 to attend a seminar? Many do. This is a common question at the Fastlane Forum. So-and-so is offering a 3-day seminar on real estate investment for $50,000. Should I buy it? What? Are you smoking crack? Do you know what you're buying? Let me tell you, you're paying $50,000 for someone to explain a book that's found at the bookstore for $19. A $50,000 seminar is exploitation of what we producers know. People are lazy. People want it handed to them. People don't want to read and they don't want to connect the dots. They want it done for them. People want to be steered. They want someone to drive their vehicle. People want events, not process. And what better event is there than a $50,000 seminar? Now don't get me wrong, seminars can be great for education, but it has to be the right seminar, which is affordable and given by producers and experts, not by professional career public speakers. Most high-dollar seminars are well-orchestrated marketing machines tailored to extract every dollar from your wallet. Most cheap seminars are day-long upsells into a more expensive seminar. And those well-suited presenters? They suffer the typical paradox of practice, rich from public speaking to millions, but not rich from what they teach. A member of the Fastlane Forum reflected on her recent experience with a popular book guru.
First, you won't be allowed to network. If you were allowed to network, then people would find out quicker that this seminar is just one giant sales pitch for a larger, more expensive seminar to the tune of $50,000. Second, you won't learn a damn thing except that you should have listened to your gut and not gone. There really is a sucker born every minute. Amazing people have nothing in the bank but can come up with $50,000 just for the hope of something better. And finally, there's a segment in the seminar where they have you increase the balance on your credit cards because, after all, the rich make money and the poor earn it. So then everyone goes and increases their balances, and then guess what? They hit you with the purchase price of anywhere from $16,000 to $50,000, depending on how serious you are. Ridiculous? Apparently not, because people go rushing to the back of the room like cattle to slaughter, credit cards in hand. They leave with a nervous sense of self-satisfaction and a cute little sticker that says, "I invest in myself."
A $50,000 oil change is as shocking as a $50,000 seminar. Good seminars are under $1,000 and are given by respectable experts, practitioners, and seminar firms. Good seminars are educational and don't come at the price of a brand new Cadillac. Bad seminars are hyped, high pressure, and exploitive. Bad seminars are about making money and not about helping you. So, how could you tell a good seminar from a bad one? The first tip-off is price. Anything unreasonable is a warning sign that the provider is more interested in making money than your education. The second is price again. Be wary of free. Free usually means 8 minutes of education and 8 hours of upsell to a higher price seminar. Thirdly, who is giving it? Is it a professional speaker or someone who actually practices what he or she teaches? Read the fine print. Johnny Guru strategies have made millions. And then the fine print says, Johnny Guru will not be in attendance. Huh? Would you allow an acting surrogate to perform surgery on you if the real surgeon wasn't available? Total fail. Chapter Summary, Fastlane Distinctions. Fastlaners start their education at graduation, if not before. A Fastlaner's education serves to advance their business system and their money tree, not to raise intrinsic value. Fastlaners aren't interested in being a cog in the wheel. They want to be the wheel. I don't know how is an excuse dismantled by discipline. Infinite knowledge is everywhere and it's free. What's missing is discipline to assimilate it. You can become an expert in any discipline not requiring physical skills. Educational recharges can occur within time blocks already allocated for other objectives. Organizers of expensive seminars take advantage of sidewalkers and disenfranchised slow laners by marketing empty promises as events. Chapter 28, Hit the Red Line. If things seem under control, you're just not going fast enough. Mario Andretti. Fastlane winners are forged at the red line. Winners are forged at the red line. What's the red line? The red line is pure, unadulterated commitment. Money trees, businesses, and systems aren't built overnight. It took Chuma years to construct his pyramid machine. Commitment is money tree, water, sun, fertilizer, and cultivation. I know commitment is a word likely to cause a riotous exodus. If you think the fast lane process is easy, stop now and go back to the slow lane, which isn't easy either. Remember, get rich easy is a lure with a hook. The creation of a vibrant business is like raising a child from birth to adulthood. Like a parent has to commit to their children, you must commit to your system and your business. It is at the red line where the limits of the car are tested, and that is where your limits will be tested. Are you interested or committed? Too many people saunter through life coasting in first gear and then wonder, how did I get here? Who doesn't want to worry about money? Unfortunately, it doesn't take any effort to be interested in wealth and financial security. Interest is kindergarten. It isn't enough, and those who have interest just live in first gear. To get out of first gear, you must first make a concerted effort and a lineage of good choices to exploit the power of the fast lane. There's a profound difference between interest and commitment. Interest reads a book. Commitment applies the book 50 times. Interest wants to start a business. Commitment files the LLC paperwork. Interest works on your business an hour a day, Monday through Friday, while commitment works on your business 7 days a week whenever time permits. Interest leases an expensive car, while commitment rides a bike and puts the money into your system. Interest is looking rich, while commitment is planning to be rich. Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, didn't build the most used social network just by being interested. He was committed. Interest is quitting after the third failure, while commitment is continuing after the 100th. While I was building my company, my system, my surrogate, I was committed. I'd spend 12 hours a day for weeks perfecting and building my system. I'd forgo nights drinking with friends. I lived in a cramped studio apartment. I'd eat cheap pasta for lunch and dinner. I was ready to wash dishes for my plan. While my friends were more concerned with bragging rights for having the fastest car in a racing video game, I wanted financial freedom. I wanted a fast car in reality, not on a video game. My friends were committed to being winners in a fantasy world, while I was committed to being a winner in the real world. Fast lane winners are forged at the red line. Distance yourself from most people. How bad do you want it? How willing are you? Are you willing to sleep in your car for it? Are you willing to live in a tiny apartment while your friends own houses? Are you willing to forgo the nice BMW in favor of a rust bucket with 150,000 miles? Are you willing to wait tables at Maloney's Bar and Grill when your friends have cushy $50,000 a year jobs? How willing are you? Most people aren't willing, and it separates the winners from the losers. The idea of living in the rat race for 50 years has to be more painful than the idea of working your ass off to escape it. You can have mediocre comfort now or meteoric comfort later. The fast laner trades short-term comforts with the foreknowledge that extraordinary long-term comfort is to be gained. When it comes down to getting in the mud and getting dirty, most people will opt for smooth sailing of first gear and avoid the discomfort of the red line. The red line busts through roadblocks and hardens process. When Carnegie Mellon University professor Randy Pausch was diagnosed with terminal cancer, he blessed us with his last lecture. He said,
"The brick walls are not there to keep us out. The brick walls are there to give us a chance to show how badly we want something. The brick walls are there to stop the people who don't want it badly enough. They are there to stop other people."
The last two words of the quote are, "other people." You want to be damn sure you aren't other people, because other people is synonymous with most people. Most people are consumers who are two paychecks from broke. Most people won't invest long hours into their business system while their friends are living it up on credit. Most people will allow friends and family to deflate their dreams with "that won't work" directives. Most people start excited and gush with exuberance, but give up at the first pothole or failure. Most people succumb to "I quit" and give up, not knowing that they are one or two plays away from a touchdown, the fast lane exponential growth curve. Are we there yet? Wealth is a devious entity, and its elusiveness weeds out the weak. Your journey will follow a predictable path of excitement, questioning, commitment, and rebirth. Fast lane success requires an investment toll of time and effort. This is the toll that makes you special and keeps everyone else out. This red line effort cannot be bypassed nor outsourced. Prime your expectations for work and sacrifice. Know your destination, envision your dreams, ready your means, and know that you are simply paying the toll because you don't want to trade 5 for 2 for life. If you don't do the hard work that fast lane opportunity demands, somebody else will. And if you aren't like everyone, you will discover something miraculous. You can live unlike everyone. Get your foot off the brakes. The sweat of success is failure, and I am soaking wet. If you've taken a step, spin, or aerobics class, you know the objective is to sweat, to get your heart rate up, to build cardiovascular endurance.